This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Sammy P of Fox will join us. We will go over week one of the NFL. It is here. By the time you are listening to this, the NFL starts tomorrow, today, depending on if you listen to this Wednesday or Thursday. Excited, man, and I'll just start here with the Thursday game and my prediction for the season. I'll give you my Super Bowl pick. I've kind of hidden at it all summer. I'm not going to ignore baseball, but baseball can take a backseat. I've done plenty of it this summer, and I'll get to some of my thoughts here from the weekend in college football, looking back to Labor Day weekend, the games we had, and not a lot to discuss, but did want to just give some thoughts. But NFL is where I'll start, and we are back here with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Chiefs laying 3, pretty much all spots, 46.5 for the total. I like the Chiefs. I mean, I wish it wasn't 3, and if you can find a cheaper money line in the 145-150 range, I think that's probably a good way to go. But I'll lay it here with the Chiefs. I just think Baltimore lost so much on the offensive line. I think the Chiefs are better at receiver, and we've all heard the stat, Andy Reid, how great he is off of a bye. Well, this isn't exactly a bye, but it's extra rest. It's extra time to prepare. Extra time to prepare is probably the more appropriate way to describe it. And there's not that much you can hang over your head when you're Andy Reid and you coach this great Chiefs team. You won back-to-back Super Bowls. You're in the AFC title game or better every year. But the one thing you can't hang over their head, they lost last year on opening night. They lost to the Lions. They didn't play well, but that was, you know, without Kelce. Tony just dropped a million balls. Now they have Xavier Worthy, the rookie receiver from Texas, who I think is going to be tremendous, who I think very early in the year is going to remind people or give people hesitation, pause as to, man, how do we let the Chiefs get this guy? Because he is fast, and a lot of the plays are going to come down to Worthy. You run as fast as you can. Mahomes is going to throw it as far as he can, and we'll see what happens. And if nothing else, it gives something where the defenses have to respect it and drop people back, and that opens up things underneath, opens up the running game. And I just think the Ravens, not only all the offensive linemen that got overturned from one year to the next, but lost their defensive coordinator to the Seahawks, who's, McDonald, who's going to be the head coach now, and a guy a lot of people like. Offensive line coach passed away a few weeks ago, tragically, unexpectedly, somewhat unexpectedly. And I just think there's reasons to be high on the Chiefs. There's reasons to be down on the Ravens. Now you could say, man, these teams played in the AFC title game when it was 7 or 8 months ago, and the Ravens are favored by 5. Now the Chiefs are favored by 3. Maybe this is an overreaction, maybe, but it's not the same Chiefs team. It's not the same Ravens team. So I will lay it here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Should be a good game, should be a fun game, but Chiefs is the pick. And as we get started here on this NFL season, I am going to pick the Jets to beat the Lions in the Super Bowl. I just think I've talked about all the reasons here for liking the Jets. The fact that they could somehow win 7 games last year. And I don't like the coach, but give him credit. He won 7 games with a quarterback who may never throw another pass in the NFL, with Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian. He could still win 7 games, and the defense still played well. And that's when the defense basically just had to win the game by themselves. Teams could be conservative. Now you figure they're going to score in the 20s in some of these games. And I think Rodgers will play well here. I really do. I don't buy this idea that the Achilles is going to be a factor, that he's washed up. He was playing with a broken thumb a couple years ago. Now you can say, hey, he's older, he's going to get banged up, maybe. But if he plays well, they're going to be good on defense. They got weapons on offense. Would like maybe another receiver or so, but the offensive line's much better. And if he can get by San Francisco, the schedule is pretty favorable. And I just think, you know, Chris Russo, Mad Dog, made this point a month ago, and people kind of laughed at him. I think there's something to it. Aren't the Jets just kind of due for a break? Aren't they just due for something to bounce their way? I mean, they always bust on these quarterbacks, and you can say it's bad ownership and bad, you know, management, and there's certainly some truth to that. But I don't know, Rodgers getting hurt a few plays in last year, everything that's happened with them, I do get the sense that maybe the Jets are due for a break. And it'd be good for the league, too, if the Jets can just put together, I mean, not even a Super Bowl winning season, but a season where they're in the mix, where they win 10, 11, 12 games, and they're just a theme of the season. Rodgers is rejuvenated, the defense. The Jets haven't been good in a while. Put Rodgers on that team. There's just a lot of subplots, a lot of themes that will just make for a more interesting NFL season. I think we get it. I think now it's a tough matchup Monday night against the 49ers, and it got tougher because the Niners are going to have Trent Williams and Ayuk, which it looked for a while like they might not have either. But I like the Jets, and I think the Lions – There's an element of unfinished business. Should have won the NFC title game last year against the 49ers. Left plays on the field, points on the field, drop balls, you name it. Should have won it, and maybe should have won it comfortably. Had a 17-point lead in the second half. And if you look at the roster, a lot of their best players are 25 and under. So there's certainly a reasonable approach here, a reasonable mindset that they're going to get better. I mean, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Gibbs, Sewell, Laporta. I mean, these guys are all 25 and under. So the fact that they – or the idea that maybe they take another step forward and get even better and they're just average to slightly above average on defense. Now, Campbell's a madman. Sometimes he's going to introduce variance to it with all the fourth down decisions. I understand that, but they play hard for him. I'd rather be too aggressive than too conservative. And, you know, maybe San Francisco, Super Bowl hangover – maybe they're just kind of due for a down here. And same thing with Kansas City. You know, at some point, as great as Mahomes is, at some point this kid's going to run into a season where he just loses in the first round or the second round or, I mean, gets banged up or something. He's not going to play 14 years and go to the Super Bowl and, you know, 12 out of the 14 or 10 out of the 14 and go to the AFC title game every single year, which he's done so far. So maybe the Chiefs are due for a bad one. And in San Francisco, there's some rest disadvantage stuff where they're playing on a lot of short weeks. You know, look, they're obviously a good team. I wouldn't be shocked if we got a rematch 49ers and Chiefs. How could you be? But I'll be slightly different. It's not like some outrageous pick, but I'll be slightly different and go Jets over the Lions. Chiefs -3 Thursday night. Those are the picks. Get to the rest of my picks on the Friday show, and I'll do some college picks on Friday. Maybe I'll mix in some baseball too. But before we get to Sammy P, just some quick reaction from the college games Saturday. Nothing earth-shattering. A lot of the games, honestly, that we're hoping for, expecting to be good when you look at this slate, it's kind of the opposite of week zero. When you look at week zero, like, man, these games are going to be stink. Who cares? And the games ended up being really good and really exciting. It's kind of the opposite of that week number one, where Georgia, Clemson, Penn State, West Virginia, and I mean, those are the two. Oh, Miami versus Florida. Those were the three big games early. Notre Dame A&M was good, but the three games early that you're excited for really did not pan out. All kind of blowouts, duds. And it's pretty clear, at least through 1 week, that it's Georgia and then ... everybody else, because Georgia is just, look, it was not pretty early offensively, but they are just, they come at you in waves on both sides of the ball. They got a quarterback. They got a defense. They got a coach that's won. They are just loaded. Ohio State didn't look great. I mean, I know they won by 50 points, but they struggled for a little bit more than you thought with Akron. Oregon didn't look great, and even if they did, man, it's hard to match the talent of Georgia's A game. So at least early on, it does look like Georgia and everybody else. Of course, a lot of time to go, long way to go, and I'm sure they'll have a down week at some point. But they are clearly the favorite in my mind. And again, the rest of the games just didn't live up to the hype. Notre Dame, A&M was good. And just looking forward to this week, you would worry a little bit about a Notre Dame letdown just because they're a little over 4 touchdown favorites against Northern Illinois. Huge win on the road, SEC team, physical game. Can they get up for a lesser opponent this week? That'll be interesting. But that was a great win, and actually went over their team total for anyone that tailed along. Boy, that was a tough one because it was, 13-13 with like a couple minutes to go. They get a touchdown and then a stop as A&M went for it, and then Notre Dame kicks a field goal to go over, just a bad beat by the right side. I mean, that was a dead under all the way. Neither team could really move the ball. So that's the college. It's good to have it back. Kind of wish we had and USC, by the way, is much better. That was a fun game on Sunday night. USC is much better. LSU, another season opening loss. I kind of wish they had more games on Sunday. It was a little bit of a lull, a little bit of a withdrawal Sunday, afternoon all day to just sit there with no games. But it's good to have it back. And we're going to be packed this weekend, all day games on Saturday. Obviously, the Thursday game, the Friday NFL game, Packers-Eagles, and then NFL is back. So a lot of football, the pennant races in baseball. It's the best time of the year, September, October. I know you can make the case March. December is going to be good this year with the college football playoffs and the NFL, playoff races. And there's a lot of good times. May and April when you have the NBA and NHL playoffs combined with the baseball and like the NFL draft, those are fun nights. But to me, September, October, that this is on the short list and the very top of the best sports times of the year. But let's do a little more NFL. Let's get Sammy P's thoughts. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More Podcast. He is the host of the Chicken Dinner Podcast. You can catch him at BetQL, Fox Sports. It is Sammy P. Sammy, I don't know what took me so long to have you on, but I'm appreciative that you can join us. What's going on, man? How are you?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. Thanks for having me. Our mutual acquaintance, Mikey Poods, goes, "Why have you not been on Will's podcast?" And I said, "Why don't you ask Will?" And I was drinking with him last week. We went to a Red Sox game. And then you had texted me days later. Did he finally get through to you, or was this like a natural revelation for you?
Natural. I don't, you know, some people that I text with the most, I just know how much they do and you do. And it's like, I don't know if I want to bother him. Like, and you're doing so much other stuff. Then once football starts, I don't want too much crossover with the Bear Pod, but you're doing college with us for the Bear Pod this year. You're not doing too much NFL. I don't think so. We can do NFL and it's fresh. There's no crossover. So, yeah, man, took me too long, but I'm glad you're here now. And let's get into the NFL. By the time people listen to this, we will be one day away from the start of the NFL season, which is hard to believe. What's your hottest take? What's your most controversial NFL opinion?
Oh, the Texans missing the playoffs. The price was plus 170. That has come down a little bit. Their schedule is just a damn gauntlet. I mean, they play 8 or 9 really good quarterbacks outside of the division. But to me, it's such a different role reversal when you go in the NFL from being the hunter to the hunted. And they're going from a team that was the dog a lot last year. They got trendy at the end, and maybe they were small favorites a couple times. But this was a team that picked second in the draft, traded for the third pick, was minus 300 to miss the playoffs. Then they go to the playoffs after all of that and beat a Cleveland Browns team pretty bad. I mean, 45 points in a playoff game for a rookie quarterback is memorable enough to remember, or memorable enough to retain that all offseason. Like, wow, Houston was good. What's next? Well, now they're minus 190, minus 200 to make the playoffs. They go from the third easiest schedule to the seventh toughest, and they're facing like Tua, Lamar, Mahomes, Prescott, Goff, Rodgers. Josh Allen, I think, is on that list. I don't have the schedule in front of me. But that's a team that I think is going to be very popular to bet week in, week out, but also to make the playoffs, to win the division, to win the AFC. CJ Stroud is the second or third favorite to win the MVP. And guys like us have been watching this league forever. It's never that easy when everybody thinks that way about a certain team or player.
Yeah, and look, he was ultra impressive, and you have some Chicago connections. I don't know if it gets discussed enough how lucky Chicago got that Carolina took Bryce Young, which had nothing of their doing. They had no knowledge. They just the narrative, the sense would be so different if Carolina had taken CJ Stroud, because now people, Bears fans, would say, wait a second, we could add CJ Stroud and we traded the pick, and now they wouldn't have Caleb Williams because that pick wouldn't be as bad. It's amazing the ramifications of just one decision that they really had nothing to do with.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's the full list that I pulled it up on Fox right now. Houston will face Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Rodgers, Goff, Prescott, Tua, Mahomes, Lamar. That's just non-divisional games. They'll get Richardson twice, who I like. They'll get Trevor Lawrence twice, who other people I know are bullish on. That's a tough schedule, man. It's a lot easier last year than it is this year. But yeah, as for Chicago, Ryan Poles not only got DJ Moore and Caleb Williams, he also was able to get the draft pick that they used on Darnell Wright, first round pick last year, the tackle out of Tennessee. So he turned that number one pick into 4, 5, 6 assets, and they all look like they're ready to contribute, most of them, right away. Would you rather be Chicago or Carolina? It's not even a conversation.
Yep, absolutely. And again, back to Stroud, like he only threw 5 picks last year. Maybe he's just super, generational in terms of taking care of the ball, and he's just that good, or there's some regression coming, because throwing for like, what did he throw for, 4,500 yards and only throwing for 5 picks? That might be hard to sustain, hard to repeat.
No doubt. I mean, you look at the teams that they beat, though. New Orleans, Tampa, Arizona, Denver, Tennessee, Indy, Jacksonville. Like, they didn't exactly beat a playoff team. Yep. I don't think, I'm looking at the schedule, and okay, they beat Pittsburgh, who made the playoffs because everybody in the North got hurt. They beat a playoff team on October 1st. And they didn't beat another playoff team because I don't think Cincy went to the playoffs without Burrow. Burrow was out. None of those other teams made the playoffs. So they didn't beat a playoff team until the playoffs when they beat Cleveland. So they really beat nobody. So that's, look, you're trying to poke holes in a sexy team. You look at things like strength of schedule, opposing quarterbacks they played. I don't even remember Week 14 against the Jets. Who would have been the freaking quarterback on December 10th for the Jets? Let's see.
I think that Wilson, they smoked him too. The Jets smoked him, if I remember correct.
Zach Wilson. Oh, this was the game. This was the game the Jets did smoke them. So he wasn't good in that game. But, I mean, they played just so many bad quarterbacks. Wow, Zach Wilson had 301 yards, two touchdowns, no picks in that game. That might be the best game of his life.
Yeah, that's not a not an encouraging sign. If you're, you know, it's one game pretty much in the NFL, anyone can have those, you know, moments if you want to poke holes. But your point is certainly well taken here with the Texans. We'll get to some of the games in particular here. Any awards interest you?
I bet longer shots. I mean, we've worked together enough to know that I'm not going to tell you to bet Mahomes to win the MVP. It's just, it's a number I can probably get in a month or in 7 weeks or whatever. I mean, he's never going to float too high unless he's just awful, which won't happen. I mean, he's the best quarterback on the planet, but I went to MVP. It took Kyler Murray 55-1. That's come down a little bit. One book has a 30-1, which I would never bet. You can still find 50 readily available. I'm big on their offense with Marvin Harrison Jr. I like what they've done at offensive line. I think they're going to be much better this year if he's healthy for the whole season. And then my favorite long shot is looking at the receiver in Buffalo. This is going to sound like a broken record because you and I have talked about this on Bear Bets, but Keon Coleman is receiver one there because they lost Diggs and they lost Gabe Davis. So this is a rookie, 6'4", 215, who's going to probably be wide receiver one. And Josh Allen, by all accounts, is finding Keon Coleman out of Florida State. By the way, how bad is Florida State? Oof. Holy cow. You lose Jordan Travis and Keon Coleman, and you can't beat Georgia Tech and Boston College. That's a problem there. But Coleman was awesome there. Started at Michigan State, went to Florida State afterwards. Just a machine. And that's a guy who I think could get, you know, 80, 90 catches. People are going to tell you Caleb Williams or Marv or Jaden Daniels, and those three are rightful favorites. But Keon Coleman is 30-1. Marvin Harrison is 6-1. So I'm betting on guys to overexceed expectations, which lessens their number, which means I can then bet somebody else. So that's what I'm trying to do early in the season.
What's the team you're most confused about where you just, boy, I can go either way. I don't have any bets on. I don't have any feel. For me, I think the Titans are one of those teams where I don't have a lot of conviction one way or another. And to me, Philly's confusing too. So I could certainly see them bouncing back and just, hey, that second half of the schedule last year got to him, and that poor play was an aberration, or there's some real issues. I could see both sides of it. Do you have a team where you just have no feel for whatsoever?
I do. It's the Packers, because in October of last year, all the TV shows, NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, Dan Orlovsky were breaking down Jordan Love and dissecting every decision and every throw that he made. And remember the narrative going back less than a year ago: is Jordan Love an NFL quarterback? And now he's got shorter odds than Tua and Jared Goff and Lamar Jackson to win the MVP. And now the Packers are, you know, 7-8-1 to win the NFC. And I'm not there. It could happen. I'm not betting on it. I also, at the same time, you know, your question about being perplexed or confused, I don't really want to bet them under either. Matt LaFleur has proven that they can win games in the regular season. And look at what Green Bay has done in the month of December. They're outstanding down the stretch. Now, he had Aaron Rodgers for most of those years, but that's a team that knows how to win. I don't know if their defense is good. I don't know that their young receiving core is ready to carry the load because they no longer have really any vets at wide receiver. This is a young team with a, you know, younger quarterback and definitely young receivers. I don't know what to do with them. I could make a case for taking 2.5 week one at Philly. I could make a case for Philly minus 2.5. I feel that way about Green Bay basically all season long. I've heard people that are high. I've heard people that are low.
Yeah,
I'm in the middle, and I won't do anything with them until I figure them the hell out.
Yeah, and there's some threes out there. There's some 2.5s. That's the game. That's the Friday night game here in a couple days in Brazil, which is going to be weird, going to be hard to get used to, but NFL is adding more games. They're not going away, man. There's rumors now they might dip their toe back into playing Labor Day weekend, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and just saying, hey, you know what, college, we'll go head-to-head and see who wins, which I wouldn't like. I like that Labor Day, that college gets that first weekend by themselves, but, man, it's the NFL's MO. Chiefs-Ravens, who do you like? Anyone?
Under 46. Okay. You look at Baltimore's offensive line. Pro Football Focus is not very high on them. 25th out of 32. They lost three offensive starters on that line from last year. And Ronnie Stanley was really good 5 years ago. And then he got hurt in 2020, and he's been banged up really ever since. I do like their center, Linderbaum, who I believe went to Iowa. I remember betting on Iowa a lot when he was there because they were really good at running the football. Not that they're not now, but he was like the linchpin of that offensive line. They also, unfortunately, and this was brought up today on BetQL Daily by Jason Lockenfora, who's from the Baltimore, D.C. area, and he said their offensive line coach passed away. I hadn't even thought about that. Like, that wasn't even in the handicap. And that's the reason Jason brought up they let go of those three starters, because they believed in their old line coach, who unfortunately is no longer with them. They've never really had star receivers under Lamar. Now they bring in Derrick Henry, who I watched a lot last year run HB toss and not be able to get outside the tackle. Like, he's old and slow for a running back. Like, he's not old in life. He's old for an NFL running back. He's been in the league for what feels like 10 plus years now. They don't have a lot of speed aside from Lamar. So unless he can be better than he's ever been, and he has two MVPs, he's going to have to be better than that level, Will. And you look at their defense, they have some subtractions there, including Patrick Queen, who's now a linebacker in Pittsburgh. I like John Harbaugh. I think this team is going to struggle early. You look at their schedule, there's a lot of tough teams on there. I mean, you open with the champs, then you play Cincinnati, Buffalo's on that schedule. It's a very, very tough roster to get behind, to go far. And I do love Lamar, but there's a lot of question marks on that offense. And we bet them, trying to remember what you and I have in our account, I think plus 240 to miss the playoffs. I don't think that's the worst bet. And then I think you brought this up on the podcast too. If they start 1-3 or 2-4, then we could bet them to make the playoffs, and we can basically free roll the Ravens no matter what at 2.25 and plus 240. So that's a team I think is going to dip early. Maybe coaching gets them through late, but that schedule early is brutal for Baltimore.
Anything else week one jump out to you?
Yeah, I'm taking Tennessee. I know you're confused about Tennessee. I'm confused as to why a rookie quarterback is a 4.5-point favorite in week one. That's where I'm at. And I did bet Caleb Williams to throw a pick. Wow, that's actually come through the 4.5 now at a bunch of shops. Circa, Superbook, 411, Buckeye. It's a 4 at Pinnacle. So this was 4.5, remember, like 2 days ago. So that's a recent blitz on the Titans, catching now 3.5 on the road. I would take any stale 4 right now. I didn't realize it had moved in the last 6 hours or so. But I'll be on Tennessee. And another team that I really like week one is Tampa Bay. I think you can sort of pick up what I'm throwing down. I don't like rookie quarterbacks in week one. So I'm going to go against Caleb Williams in Chicago, the sexiest team to me in the NFC, because everybody's talking about him. And I've heard a lot of people go to bat for Jaden Daniels, rookie of the year. Could the Commanders be a fringe playoff team? Tampa's defense to me is very good. And Baker was really, really good last year. And I don't think Dave Canales leaving is going to change much in Tampa. They've got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It's not tough when you got, you know, maybe the best receiving tandem east of the Mississippi to ride home on. So I like Tampa week one. You can lay 3 now, minus 115. So I'll be Tampa. I'll be Tennessee. Can we bet? I'm asking you now. This is your show, so I imagine you have an answer. Can we bet 9 with New England, or is that a total stay away?
Oh, boy. To me, I don't know how much teasing you do, and everyone's going to have the Bengals in their teaser. At 8, if you can find it, and there's plenty of 8.5s, I think. To me, the simple one is just teasing Cincy down to 2.5 and finding a dance partner and just, hey, Cincy wins by 3 or more. Otherwise, you take my money and I live with it. That's how I'm approaching it.
Okay, so let's tease Cincinnati. Can I talk you into the Colts from 2.5 to 8.5? Or you can even, some books are at 3. MGM is at 3. We can take Houston through the 4, through the 7, through the 8, through the 8.5 now, and get Houston out to plus, or get Indianapolis at home with Richardson and Steichen, who in a very short window last year before Anthony got hurt, they were really good together. Richardson had a bunch of rushing touchdowns too. How about a Cincinnati -2.5 and Indianapolis, let's call it 8.5 on the plus side?
I'm in that, or Dallas up to 8.5. You figure that should be a close-ish low scoring game. Who knows what's going on with Watson. So Yeah, it's not always like fun or sexy to give out teasers because people want picks, and you know, teasers, it's a two part, it's essentially a parlay where you're buying points. But man, teasers, if you pick your spots, teasers can certainly be profitable. Who'd you pick for the Super Bowl? Who do you have in the Super Bowl?
I got Eagles over Chiefs,
Okay.
which I believe you can find at about 50 to 1 in terms of the exact result. That matchup is obviously substantially lower because the Chiefs, you know, are probably going to be one of two or three teams that are going to make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I like Philly. I know that some people aren't high on Sirianni and Hurts together, but I look at what they did defensively. They drafted a corner in round one, a corner in round two, brought in Fangio to fix the defense because they had Matt Patricia's dumbass calling plays at the end of last year, and that did not work, nor has it worked in a long time. I remember when Patricia went to Detroit. What a waste of a hire that was. So to get him out of the building, I believe is a good thing. Philly over Kansas City. So that's where I'm at. It's a repeat of, is it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
God, time flies.
I know.
Kansas City's been in the Super Bowl 2 and 3 of the last 5 years, which is wild. And you know, somebody was making fun of me the other day on Twitter, like, oh, the guy with the glasses likes Kansas City, huh? I'm like, dude, if you bet them to win the Super Bowl the last 5 years, they have 3 wins, they lost in one, and they were a 7-point favorite in the AFC title game. Like, that wager has proven to put you in a good spot. And, you know, I wouldn't bet five. I like six a whole lot more. That's a full dollar higher. But, yeah, nothing hot takey about my Super Bowl projection with KC and Philly.
Quickly, last one, college, a takeaway from last weekend, looking forward to this weekend, anything you like, take it whatever direction you want to go.
Biggest takeaway is never blindly expect a bounce back. I think the biggest narrative around the internet and the handicapping circles was that, oh, well, Florida State will be fine. Oh, Florida State will be focused. Too much talent. They'll be ready. Norvell will have them ready. What did they show you in week zero that got you excited for week one? Was it their inability to stop the run, their inability to stop a wheel route, the quarterback's inability to throw a forward pass? I mean, they showed us nothing in week zero. But how many handicappers and how many pundits said you got to go back to Florida State? And not only picking them to cover, but cover 17. I mean, that to me, that was the silliest bet to lay that many points with Florida State. Now, I didn't think they were going to lose. But that was crazy that, you know, the public was just loading up on Florida State. So never just expect a natural buyback or a bounce back when teams don't show you anything. And as for the week two stuff, my number on Texas Michigan is 4, and that's probably a little high in terms of power rating. Kenny White makes Texas -1. That's probably a little short. I mean, the summer number was 3.5. I bet Michigan this morning at +7.5. Home dogs in that building with 100,000 people. It's one thing for Texas to score on Colorado State. Now you got to score on a really, really good defense. I know Michigan's got flaws. I mean, offensively, they're a big work in progress, especially at quarterback. But Texas is not going to push over Michigan in the trenches, at least on defense. So I think that's a game. And we saw money come in on the under from 47 down to 43.5. The under move is good for Michigan. An over move would be bad for Michigan because that would line up with what Texas wants to do. So I don't know what Oregon did against Idaho. That makes no sense, that box score. But again, don't expect the natural bounce back from teams that didn't cover for you in week one.
Yeah, and to me, Michigan's just an under team because they're still pretty good on defense. I don't know about the quarterback. And to me, their only path, not their only path, but I think you got to go into this game if you're Michigan and say, hey, let's run the ball as much as we can. Let's run the clock. Let's sort of bleed the game. And we'll hope to get a defensive, you know, score, turnover, a short field, steal a possession, and you try to, you know, win the game 20-17, that kind of thing. So under Michigan and under, I mean, parlays are sometimes sucker bets, but Michigan parlay to the under is probably a decent idea too.
The only thing that makes me nervous, and we love our friend Jeff Schwartz from the podcast, but he's the type of guy that will make a bet on Monday and then flip on his bet as you get closer to Saturday and Sunday. Remember last week, I had him sold on Notre Dame against A&M. And he's like, oh, I'm nervous. I don't know. Coming out of the weekend, he loved Texas. Now he's on Michigan. So I'm nervous that when Jeff starts flipping, I never know what's going to happen. Because you go from one side and then you completely go to the other side. We did hit the Notre Dame bet. Maybe his flip will come through again. But he was very adamant that, you know, Michigan was in trouble, and now he's taking 7.5. So he's on my side again. I hope he comes through. And so you under final score, like what, 20-17
or
23-17?
I think so. And Jeff's fine. Jeff's got plenty of money. First of all, he played in the NFL. Second, he bets against the White Sox every day. So he can afford to lose.
When he was ladder in the White Sox during their 14 or 17 game stretch when they lost every game, I mean, when he was betting the other side, money line, -1.5, -2.5, and just cleaning up. I love the guy. He's the best. I mean, he's like, you ever watched a game with him in the book? He's the biggest man in the book, but he sits like, you know, like a turtle retracting into its shell, and he gets so nervous. It's just like, you know, most guys are like sprawled out. He's very constrained when he's got a skin in the game. But he's so much fun to work with.
Yeah, because we get these texts randomly in our group chat of like, oh man, this Twins bullpen is killing me. We try to piece two. Like, what are you? Oh, they're playing the White Sox. They're betting against the White Sox. So they're very. I mean, he doesn't talk a lot of baseball, but you get these random ones. Like, man, how could the how could the Marlins shortstop not make that play? It'd be like 8 o'clock. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, they're playing the White Sox. So that's usually the answer.
That easy. Just fade maybe the worst team of all time. They're 31 and 108 heading into Tuesday night. So
unbelievable.
It's that, and I actually didn't plan this. I have my rebuild t-shirt right here.
Oh boy.
If you build it, they will come. This was from 2021. That was when the rebuild was on the rise. That rebuild did not work, and they built it, but it did not come.
Yeah, they're building something. All right, Sammy, this is long overdue. I appreciate it. Let all the people know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, it's easy. Just follow me on X at SP Shoot. Links to everything there. And the new morning show is BetQL Daily from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. with Joe Ostrowski. And now we have to do a home and home. Now you have to come on that show. So it's only fitting that we made this happen before NFL. And I will, once we hang this up, I will tease Cincinnati to Indianapolis.
Sammy, appreciate the time. Hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, that will do it. Thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Don't forget, we're doing a contest. If you leave a review on Apple, leave your name or some way to get in contact with you, giving away $100 to two people who leave a review. We will be back Friday, and we will have an NFL game in the books to discuss. It will be one up and 271 to go. So see you Friday. Enjoy the rest of the week. Talk to you then.